We're back on the Hammer Down Show, 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com. Clayton Duffy, Mike Carmen from the Lafayette Journal and Courier with you. Talked a lot of Purdue football for the last 45 minutes or so. Want to switch gears just a little bit and talk some Boilermaker basketball with Mike's colleague, Nathan Baird from the Lafayette Journal and Courier, the Purdue men's basketball beat writer for the JNC on the Wings, etc. Hammerhead Hotline. And Nathan, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How's it going?
Just fine. Do you want to say hi to Mike, or are you going to talk to him later?
Hi, Mike. No, unfortunately, I don't get to see his smiling face until Saturday before kickoff. So,
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's just how it is. It's absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Well, I just think we should put a tape recorder down, like between our desks, and then just replay that for a podcast. Because some of our best podcasts, nobody ever hears other than Sam, who's sitting there, or people in the office, which we don't have a lot of people anymore.
Okay,
so we don't have a big audience like we used to.
Clayton knows how that goes. I mean, you got to remember, we're getting the Boilers Extra Band back together here. This is pretty much the biggest. Now that half the Beatles are dead, this was pretty much the biggest reunion, the most anticipated reunion going. So I'm glad we could all get back for this afternoon.
Yeah,
can we play Let It Be and have our phones like do a light, however the young ones do that nowadays?
Well, you just turn the
I think so.
You flashlight on your phone.
Yeah. I don't know how to do that.
I'm sure we can. Absolutely. No, we always had great podcasts when we weren't recording. Those were some fantastic podcasts. So
the outtakes.
Yeah, the outtakes were great. So no doubt about that. Well, Nathan, I wanted to get your reaction to Brandon Newman, the guard from Valparaiso, committing this week to Matt Painter's Boilermakers. How big a deal was that for Purdue?
Well, I think it's pretty big, kind of just in the context of what they've been doing, just a progression of what they've been doing. They knew they were going to take at least four guys for this class, potentially more than that, depending on how some things shake out, not just Carson Edwards' future, but also the targets that they want and that sort of thing with this class, who's still available, who they can get. But, they already had a point guard or a combo guard type player at worst in Isaiah Thompson. They already had a front court guy, a power forward type player in Mason Gillis, a guy who's got some versatility there. But they also still wanted that, what they've been trying to get with each class really for the last several years, which is just one guy who can really put the ball in the basket from the perimeter. And Brandon Newman does it really well. I mean, he was a 43% three-point shooter for Valparaiso, and that was taking about, five attempts per game. So he was doing it at a decent volume. Last season as a junior, he then shot 40-some percent, I think, over the summer on the EYBL circuit, which is, pretty legitimate, the Nike circuit and the kind of the level that they play at. So he's demonstrated he can do this, consistently. He scored 25 points a game for Valparaiso as a junior. Should be up for another really big year this year on a team that expects to go downstate and contend, deep in the state tournament. So this was just it's interesting that all three of these guys so far have been in-state guys, but that's still – it's almost more coincidental than anything. It's really been more about going out, identifying some guys that they really liked at some positions of need and what was going to be a bigger class, and just sort of being able to check each one of them off as they've gone along. I mean, it hasn't been – very many times, maybe at all, since I've been covering the team now, 5-6 years, that they've had three guys locked down by September 20th or September 19th, whenever it was that Brandon committed, to have three guys that they really liked all locked up into a recruiting class with more potentially to build on. That's been a little bit rare, and you're seeing that in the way that this class is being reflected nationally right now, being considered by, I think, most observers to be a top 20 class, and maybe more than that, depending on who else they can get here in the next few months.
How much have you seen Newman play over the last several months, and does he remind you of anybody, either a guy that's played at Purdue or somebody else around the country?
I haven't seen him a lot, only because his ascension came a little bit later. I mean, Purdue knew about him. He was on Purdue's radar. He really had kind of his breakout this past year as a junior, and then even then it was going into the spring in April when Purdue finally offered him, though that was more of a procedural thing at that point. They just like, they're just a little bit more particular in how they do some of those things. And he knew that and understood that and was patient. But on top of that, I mean, he started getting a bunch of offers from all over the country from some bigger places and had to kind of weed those down. And it's been an interesting 6 months or so for him because he went from being a guy kind of on the fringe to all of a sudden a guy that was a significant, you know, a top 100 national recruit based on some of the services, a four-star guy, and then obviously had some of the personal things he had to deal with. So as far as who I would compare him to, there's nobody that necessarily jumps immediately to mind. I know that he said, you know, obviously in the interview he did with you the other day that Purdue talked to him about being a kind of a Carson Edwards type for this program. And I don't know that necessarily, from what I've seen, it's not a perfect parallel in terms of just their physical attributes. But I think what they're saying is, you know, we want someone who can go out and be a threat at multiple levels, but especially, you know, again, score from the perimeter. But the thing that he has that's an advantage is he's a pretty big bodyguard. I mean, being, you know, 6'4", 6'5", around 190, and then going to grow from there. He averaged 9.5 rebounds a game. He's a guy that can go in there and scrap and be more like a wing than a true shooting guard.
I know you said that you got the three commits. They're all in state. That's a coincidence more than it is an actual plan. But, I mean, what does it mean for Purdue to wrap up three guys in state? I mean, you do have to protect your own territory. You have to protect your space in recruiting. And this is a big deal, in my opinion, to have three in-state guys like this already committed to your program. What does it do for a program when you have this many commitments that are within earshot of your campus?
Well, I think you have to be able to do both, and I think Purdue has demonstrated an ability to do both because they've went and found people in state, you know, from the time Painter's been here, going back to, you know, the Baby Boilers and a class that was really anchored in state, to people like Raphael Davis, AJ Hammonds, and then all through what they have now, a lot of those guys came in state. At the same time, you had a class that just went out that was mostly built from Ohio, and you had Isaac Haas from Alabama. You've got a potential, you know, Big Ten Player of the Year candidate that you went to Texas and got. So I think they have to do both. I think it's important to be at least be able to say that you're involved with the best players in your given state if you choose to be. You know, obviously Purdue is a school that sometimes recruits, or program sometimes recruits, looking for a very specific kind of player, and I think fans sometimes don't understand that, but there's a reason why things don't progress as far with some of the other top in-state recruits as they might like, because, you know, sometimes Purdue is looking for a very specific kind of person, not that they're also not looking for really good basketball players. But I think you've got to be able to, when you want somebody locally, you've got to be able to show that you can be a factor there, especially when you're trying to keep them away from places like Purdue, from IU or other, you know, Big Ten programs. But you've also got to demonstrate that you can go and be nationally relevant. And so I think that's where this class takes its next step. If this class ends up being one of the best that Matt Painter has ever put together, it's probably going to include somebody of significance. And obviously Malik Hall from Sunrise Christian in Kansas by way of suburban Chicago is the one that kind of jumps to the forefront as somebody that Purdue's been heavily involved with. Painter was out to visit him yesterday. He just had an official visit over the past weekend. I think that's, you know, a combination of those things is what really puts a program on a potentially another level. That's what Purdue's trying to pull off with this 2019 class.
Nathan Baird, Purdue men's basketball beat writer for the Lafayette Journal and Courier on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline, and you mentioned Malik Hall. How do you see that kind of playing out? Do you have an idea about his timeline and how this is going to roll out with him and some of his visits and things like that?
I don't for sure. I know that he is scheduled to go to Oklahoma for an official visit this weekend. I know that Michigan State came in kind of late, but that's, you know, usually Michigan State's kind of program that even if they come in late, they can usually get involved to some extent. But I also know he's been very complimentary of Purdue. There seems to be a good relationship there with Painter, with Steve Lutz and the other connections that they have there. There seems to be also, you know, he's got some family things. You know, Matthew Bain from the Des Moines Register wrote an article that part of our greater network that we ran a couple months ago or several weeks ago that about his father and having dealing with dementia and, you know, again, being in suburban Chicago, how location might be an issue for him. And Purdue helps a little bit there, being just a couple hours away from home. So Purdue seems to be in good position, but he's, you know, he's the number 51 recruit in the nation. There's not a lot of guys out there who are 6'8 and have some front court versatility, but can also score from the perimeter and are dynamic in multiple ways offensively. So it's going to be a tough fight to get someone like him. But that's why that's maybe the most important thing about what Purdue's done so far is this is already a pretty good class, regardless of what happens with Hall or any of the other forwards that they're still out there trying to get. But if they can add some more pieces, either some more size, somebody else that can help at a forward spot, then that pushes things up a notch.
Nathan Baird, Lafayette Journal and Courier, all things Purdue basketball, Wings, etc., Hammerhead Hotline. Nathan, thanks so much, man. We appreciate it. We'll see you at Ross 8 on Saturday.
All right, anytime. Thanks a lot.
Nathan on the Wings, etc., Hammerhead Hotline. Good stuff there about Brandon Newman. When we come back, oh yeah, it's our Roars of the Day. And I think Mike has a question. We'll get to that too when we come back. On the Hammer Down Show, 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com.